Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
An article, he ranked the Browns fifth of possible openings in the NFL this offseason. He has Green Bay 1, Baltimore 2, he has Seattle 3. He actually has Detroit ranked fourth, says that Matt Patricia could get fired after only 1 year, has the Browns number 5. If considering where your imagination might go, how good is this job in comparison to where some of the other openings might happen?
You know, I don't think I would put it fifth on that list at all. I think it really is, like John Dorsey said the other day, a very, very attractive job. And I have talked to people in the league. I've talked to NFL coaches in the NFL that have mentioned to me that they also believe that this is a very, very attractive job for all of the reasons that, you know, we have been talking about. I mean, you've got Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, you've got cap space, you've got 11 draft picks, and now, first and foremost, you've got John Dorsey doing the hiring. And I think that makes all the difference to guys out there in the league.
Mary Kay, there is this reputation, and we're hearing it from everybody. We're seeing it on social media. We've talked about it a lot, of Jimmy Haslam as a meddling owner. And I just asked Ken the question, how did we get to the point where we just kind of say that? It's on the tip of our tongue. We just kind of release that, and we don't really question it. Is that the thought around the league, that he is a meddling owner? And if so, why?
Well, I think that most good owners in the NFL are involved with their football teams, and they should be. If I owned an NFL team, I certainly would be involved with my team. I would be involved in picking the head coach and doing everything else. I mean, do people call Jerry Jones a meddling owner? I think most NFL owners are meddling owners, and I don't know if I would use the word meddling. I would just say involved. I don't think there's any reason they shouldn't be involved. But I think right now they're smart enough to know, Jimmy and Dee Haslam are smart enough to know, that they had to turn the search over to John Dorsey if they were actually really going to acquire and attract really good candidates.
Would they be willing to remove themselves completely from the coaching search and leave John Dorsey in charge of it because of that perception that we just talked about?
No, I don't think they're going to remove themselves from the process entirely, and I don't think they should do that. I mean, what if this coach ends up being really great and he's going to be around for the next 12 years? They have to have a comfort level with this guy. They have to work with him on a day-to-day basis. They have to socialize with him. They have to get to know his family. There's no way that they should not be involved and have a say in it.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. Hugh Jackson down in Cincinnati. Does he give them an edge for next week's game?
Well, I certainly think it helps the Bengals. I mean, my goodness, what a better way to get a tremendous, tremendous scouting report, not only on the Browns, but some of your other opponents in the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season. So I certainly don't think it can hurt them. Now, having said that, they have such a horrible, horrible defense right now. You know, I don't know what any coach could do to come in there and try to save the situation. But just from a scouting report standpoint, it certainly will help them.
Just to let everybody know, we're talking to Mary Kay Cabot of the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com on the hotline. The Bengals tweeted out yesterday, the Bengals got a shot of energy on Tuesday for the stretch run when Hugh Jackson blew back into the building with his signature rampaging enthusiasm. Mary Kay, we certainly know about none of that because none of it equated to anything here in Cleveland.
Enthusiasm.
Are we being unfair? Just let me ask the question and you can make fun of me as much as you want. Are we being unfair to Hugh Jackson given the first 2 years and everything that he had to deal with and then this third year that seemed like it was doomed to start because of the Todd Haley connection?
Well, you know what? I don't think we will ever really know what would have happened if Hugh Jackson would have done what he should have done, which is coach the offense that he came here to coach once he finally had Baker Mayfield in place and other players on the team that he wanted and a GM that he felt comfortable with and that he trusted. I think that he felt that he had to go ahead and hire an offensive coordinator. I'm not saying that he was forced to do so, but I think that the vibe was, the pressure was there to do this. And I don't think he feels that he was given an ultimatum to do it, but I think there was a strong sense of, look, you take this thing over as a CEO and let somebody else handle the offense. And yes, he did go out and hire Todd Haley. He was the one that, you know, that was the bottom line on that. But he felt pressured to do that. And I don't know what would have happened if he would have run the offense himself this year. I have no idea. I do know that he was trying all along to get Duke Johnson to play more and to get Nick Chubb to play more, and Todd Haley was not listening to that. And I do know that there was a lot of back and forth between Hugh Jackson and Jimmy Haslam on that because it just wasn't working out. So, you know, who knows what would have happened, but, you know, I, for one, think that he should have gone, if he was going out this year and if he was going to get fired, he should have done it on his own merits.
Mary Kay, would you be surprised if Hugh Jackson, with that terrible record and the 2 years and six games here in Cleveland, if he's the next head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals?
Well, I don't even think I would be that surprised because, you know, we do know that Mike Brown tried to get him to stay there and be the heir apparent to Marvin Lewis, who at the time was only going to coach for two more seasons. So, you know, I don't think I would be shocked, although I would say that because the reputation right now has taken such a tremendous, tremendous hit, at least here, but I think nationally as well, you know, I'm not sure if Mike Brown would go ahead and do that now. Maybe if they had a couple of good years with him on the staff, maybe there would be some distance between him and that 3-36-1 record. But, I mean, stranger things have happened.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. For Baker Mayfield, this was really a watershed moment in this win against the Atlanta Falcons. What do you think they do for the rest of the season? Can you give me a record? Can you give me a win-loss?
Well, you know, I think you can look at those two Bengals games and wonder if they shouldn't be able to beat them with that horrible defense. They should be able to take advantage of some of those things. So you can, you know, you can look at that game now and have to wonder about that a little bit. And there are other teams with some issues, obviously, now going on in the home stretch. But they've got four road games out of the last six. And obviously, we know they have not won on the road. I do have a feeling that this new group of Freddie Kitchens and Greg Williams are going to snap that streak and they're going to win a game on the road. But it's not going to be easy the rest of the way. Let me say two more victories.
Okay, so we'll put them at 5-10-1. Okay, that's fine. Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. Do you think Greg Williams should get a legitimate shot to be the head coach next year?
Well, I definitely think it's the right thing to do to interview him, but I don't think that this building needs any more mixing streams or any old regimes being left over with new regimes coming in and people having to get used to, you know, people that have been here before and have alliances and allegiances and all of those things. So I would say no. I would say that if anything, Greg should be sort of auditioning for another team. I think he's doing a great job, and don't get me wrong about that. I think he's doing a really, really good job. But I think for once, I think the Haslams need to be willing to just let the past go and move forward and have John Dorsey, you know, lead the charge on the coaching search and then, you know, let the rest of the building kind of, you know, just settle itself down and move forward with the new people.
If they were 3-3 over the final six, they'd be 4-4 overall with Greg. And a lot of people would want to keep Greg Williams, at least as the defensive coordinator. I think over that time, that winning, it becomes infectious, getting back in the foxholes, leading players, that type of thing. I don't know if it would be in Greg Williams' best interest or even the organization's best interest to put him then as a subordinate to somebody else, because that might create friction in its own right where you didn't want to do that before.
Yeah, it's time to let the new person come in, to let John Dorsey lead the charge on that, pick somebody that he feels comfortable with, and let that person fill out his own staff and not be, not have someone imposed on him. So, no, I don't think that would be the best idea in the world, and it has nothing to do with the job that Greg is doing. I need to be clear on that. He's doing a tremendous job, and he might have put himself back on the NFL coaching map for NFL teams. But I just think here the new coach needs to just be able to hire whoever he wants and not have things going on that make him feel that he has to do anything.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us with this terrific perspective. So we said we would ask you about it. We had some fun with it earlier in the week. But during the press conference for John Dorsey, a question was asked about the type of coach he would bring in. And he corrected himself at one point to say men or even the best woman for the job. And then there was a little bit of laughter in the background that we found a little bit uncomfortable, especially given the times. Mary Kay, what was your reaction about that sequence of events during the press conference?
Well, I didn't think for one second that he was joking. I did not think that he was joking. I knew that he was serious about that because he was trying to say, I will interview everyone. I will leave no stone unturned. I just, even right from the very start, I did not think he was joking. And you might hear me after. Now, someone laughs, and then there's a pause, and then I think there's a little bit of my voice in there laughing. A slight bit, but that was because the moment John Dorsey said what he said, all of a sudden he decided to see what my reaction was to it, and he just stared like right through my forehead, basically. And it was just a funny moment, the way that he was like, okay, let's see what you're gonna what you're going to do here with this information I just dropped on you. So it was the way that he bored, you know, a hole into my head at that moment that I was like, whoa, what are you doing here? But the knowledge, the information that he had just dropped on us, that was not funny to me at all. That I knew he was serious about it, and I tweeted that out yesterday. He was absolutely 100% serious. He wouldn't make a joke like that. He would not make a sexist joke like that, especially in a public forum. So, you know, that just wasn't funny. It was true.
No, we had to get it in the context, and I'm glad we did yesterday, Mary Kay. Hey, real quick, I got like 20 seconds. Did you pick a head coaching candidate that you want yet?
No, but I'm starting to whittle my list down, and I haven't really put it out there yet terms of, you know, writing it. But I'm starting to get a feel for the kind of man or woman that I would want on the job.
There we go. All right, Mary Kay, we thank you very much.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mary Kay.
Thank you.
No, I know. It was an interesting little exchange there that day. I understand exactly what you guys are saying, but rest assured that John Dorsey was not joking about that, and he would not do that.
I dig it. Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best.
Thank you, guys.
The great Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll break that down very, very quickly. Of course, we've got the Friday Five and Lee Sterling joining us right after that. It's Ken Carmen and Lima on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.